Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and our guest today is...
My name is Guinevere Delamere, and I am one of the co-founders of Silent Book Club.
So tell us about Silent Book Club. Tell us about how it began and what it has grown into, because we've been seeing it all over the place lately.
Yeah, it's such a funny sort of phenomenon. I mean, we never thought or intended that it would become sort of a global community of readers. Originally, it was me and my friend Laura back in 2012. We lived on the same street in San Francisco, and in between our two houses was a little French bistro, and we would meet up there for dinner or a glass of wine, and both of us were avid readers. You know, we were the type of people who always carried a book in our bag, So, inevitably, typically Laura would get there first because I am kind of chronically late, but whoever would get there first would just kind of read until the other person arrived. And then when we got there, we would share what we were currently reading. We would exchange recommendations. We would maybe, sometimes, you have those books or authors that just make you furious. And so we would vent together. And so we had this little book club of two. And that was really the beginning of it. We would Instagram and post photos of sort of our books and our wine, and our friends would see it and say, can we come too? And so it started to just kind of grow to the point where we had enough of friends wanting to chip in or, wanting to join in that we had to kind of get a bigger table. And quite apart from reading together, both of us had been in book clubs previously and, had gone through that very common experience where, you haven't read the book or you're scrambling to finish it because, you feel like you need to have something to say. And at that point I was like, we're grown-ass women. Like, we don't need homework. We have full-time jobs. There's just no need to be doing this to ourselves. So for our book club, we decided that we were going to, have no assignments, no homework, no forced discussion questions. We were just going to bring our books and recommendations to the table and then read together with friends.
Which is great. And on the website, I was just pulling it up, the Silent Book Club website, it says, "Welcome to Introvert Happy Hour," which sounds absolutely delightful.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so true story. I consider myself, sort of a hardcore introvert. I'm really uncomfortable in social situations where you have to make small talk. Networking is really painful, and so I really empathize with people who are like me, who sort of, once you've discussed the weather, you're like, oh my God. What the panic sets in. But at the same time, like, as humans, like, we really crave social connections. It's not that like introverts don't like other people, or it's not that introverts don't need to connect with others. But it's just a different way of interacting with the world. And one of the things that Silent Book Club offers is a way for, and particularly, this was, pre-pandemic, it offered a space where people could come and gather and be surrounded by people that shared common interests without the pressure of having to kind of perform or with having to be outgoing. And, when you have a book in your hand, then there's an automatic sort of discussion topic that is right there for you. You can talk about the book. You can find somebody across the room who is reading one of your all-time favorites or who's reading the same book as you. And that automatically kind of forms a connection that's very natural in a way that, you know, a lot of other kind of group settings can sometimes not feel.
I think you've got a very good point about, and I'm not to, this is not to say that it doesn't work for people, the more formal book club model, but, you know, we are very busy and we don't necessarily have the time to finish the book by the time that everybody needs. And there are people who are just so hardcore book club, and if you didn't do your homework, they know, and they're just like,
and, I mean, yeah. Can we please take judgment out of reading? There's nothing that really irritates me. Okay, well, there's a lot of things that irritate me, but one of the things that I just cannot abide is, you know, this comes up, you know, in our Facebook group quite frequently, where, you know, somebody will make a comment about something like, you know, audiobooks are not reading. And it's such an ableist argument. Like, it really is. It disregards like this just vast, like, diversity of experience that many people have. And like, and it's just a garbage argument. You know, I mean, I really get frustrated when, you know, there's the sort of endless debate about print versus ebook, or, you know, or romance is a trash genre, or you know, or genre fiction in general is not as worthy as literary fiction. And, you know, and I just don't think it's valid. I think that, you know, that everybody has a very personal relationship with reading and with the types of books that they read. And, you know, I mean, in the same way that different people like different styles of music.
Sure.
Different people like different books. And who are we? Who is anyone to judge anyone else for their preferences?
Definitely. As a mother and I do still sit at the children's desk weekly. I think there's no better way to kill a potential reader than to judge the fact that they're picking up a book that is not an award winner. And I am absolutely not bashing award winners at all. I'm not bashing the classics, but seriously, like, if your kid wants to grab a stack of Babysitter's Club or graphic novels or Diary of a Wimpy Kid, your kid is reading, and that is really going to grow them into a reader. You know, I always try to tell parents not to force, you know, like, if their kid is not into what they want their child to read, because I'll hear all the time, all they want to read are fantasy books, or all they want to read are these graphic novels, and I don't think that that's literary, you know, but they really need to read Charles Dickens. I'm like, they're going to read Charles Dickens in school. Like, there's nothing wrong with Charles Dickens, but there's no way around reading Charles Dickens. If you want them to be a strong enough reader to be able to absorb Charles Dickens, let them read those books. Or find a book, you know, that is like written from a modern sensibility, but like a historical fiction.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a 10-year-old at home, and he, you know, I mean, and he just, like, for a long, long time would only read graphic novels. And, you know, and being sort of, you know, being the person that I am, coming from the background that I have, like, I had no problem with that. And so, you know, but, and so I never, you know, like, I never told him, like, oh, you shouldn't read these books, or you should read these other books. And I just let him sort of get to the point on his own where he wanted more. And that's the thing, you know, is that, you know, people, you know, children will move at their own pace. They will often be influenced by their peers. If you try and force it, you know, I mean, oh my God, like, even like the high school reading curriculum, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, I was in like an AP English class where we had to read Virginia Woolf and I was 16. And like, frankly, like there's very little point in reading Virginia Woolf at 16. Like you just don't have the world experience to be able to really like fully appreciate like is going on there. You know, like if you read Virginia Woolf at 40, you're gonna have an incredibly different experience. Now, to your earlier point, that's not to say that the classics aren't important and that there is a lot of value in pushing yourself and stretching yourself and delving into literary themes and all of the things that you can learn from these books and from these authors. But again, you know, there's a time and place and there's no wrong kind of reading.
Definitely not. And Silent Book Club has now become global. So talk a little bit about how that happened and where all of these chapters are. I was looking at a map. There's like, I mean, obviously all over the United States, but I see South America, I see Cuba. I mean, it's really become a global phenomenon.
It's amazing. I mean, we are, I am truly just blown away by
that map.
Every time I look at it. Yeah. So on our website, we have a map that links to all of the different local chapters around the world. And I think that our current tally is I think it's, you know, 268 chapters in something like 38 countries. I may not have that country count correct, but
it's okay because the everything off of the United States didn't pop up until like 2 seconds after I started naming countries. I'm like, oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting is outside of the, so you know, I mean, obviously we originally formed in the United States. The way that the chapter model started was that one of our friends in San Francisco moved to Brooklyn and she sort of like brought the idea of Silent Book Club with her. And so we would kind of coordinate a night where she would be in Brooklyn with her friends doing a silent book club. We would be in San Francisco, and then we would sort of post with a hashtag on Instagram and that was sort of the beginning of this idea of having sort of simultaneous silent book clubs or different locations of silent book club. And then you know a friend in LA picked it up, a group in Seattle started. I guess as we were, I'm trying to remember the exact sort of, you know, progression. But once we sort of saw that this was an idea that was starting to catch on, we started a Facebook group. You know, we kind of got onto social media and we launched a website. And the first version of our website was very simple. It pretty much just had like, you know, here's how to start a silent book club. You know, here are the steps that you can go through and, you know, and take it and make it your own. Both Laura and I came from backgrounds in online community management. So we had a lot of experience of, you know, of building communities, of engaging with people and we from the very beginning have had a very strong belief that, you know, that Silent Book Club should really be this inclusive space where people can make it their own and people can sort of, you know, in the same way that you can kind of bring your own book, you know, you can create your own version of a silent book club. So each of the chapter organizers, you know, it's really up to them how they frame their chapter. So, you know, back when we were meeting in person, there were groups that were organized by libraries, there were groups that were organized by schools, there were individuals who would hold meetups at cafes or ice cream parlors or outdoors in the park. You know, we started out in a wine bar and, you know, and so San Francisco was sort of based around that. But a friend of ours in Seattle who started a group at, you know, she actually reached out to us and said, you know, like, I have a couple of friends who, you know, who are in recovery or who are, you know, who don't drink. And so does this have to happen over wine? And we sort of were like, oh my God, like, A, like, that was really dumb of us to kind of like focus so much on this because that's not an inclusive approach to doing this. And also, absolutely, like, you know, do whatever you want. And so that's how she ended up at an ice cream parlor. And I was like, milkshakes and books. Yes, please. Sign me up.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
So, you know, it really started out word of mouth, you know, and then it started spreading, you know, just kind of because people on Facebook would share it or hear about it. And so, you know, a group in London started up. We have several groups in Canada. Toronto is one of our, you know, strongest, longest running chapters. And, you know, and so from about 2015, that was when we launched our website. That was when it sort of started growing. And then, you know, and then we got some really amazing press. You know, Oprah, the O Magazine ran a story on book clubs that we were a part of. NPR did a story about Silent Book Club. And, you know, and that was when it just sort of, you know, jumped. We went from having about, you know, a couple dozen chapters, maybe 50 or 60 chapters, in like 2018 or so, to, you know, more than 200 by 2019. So that was just a real explosion of interest. And now some of our most popular, I think Italy and India are the two countries outside of the United States that have kind of the biggest collection of silent book clubs. And, you know, there's more than 20 chapters in Italy alone. And, you know, Italy is the size of California. I mean, it's a relatively small country. So to have that many chapters there really speaks to this, you know, just sort of the appeal of the idea and the universality of, you know, of reading and of shared experience and community.
I think it's amazing. And you have a cute little shop on your website too, where you can buy all sorts of mugs and stuff. I know librarians, we love our book related swag.
I love the sort of book community that exists. And, you know, and this is, I mean, I feel like we rarely talk about kind of the good side of social media these days, because so much of it is bad. But, you know, originally, like, you know, back in the early days of, you know, like book Twitter, back in like 2010, 2011, like, do you remember those days? Like, it was there's an incredible community of people who are book lovers and who have that shared passion that really brings us together. And, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, lifestyle readers it's a whole category now. And, you know, and people, there are far more people on Bookstagram that do it, you know, way better than we do. But, you know, but it's like people's entire worlds now.
So if somebody would like to start a chapter of Silent Book Club, library or otherwise, because our listeners come from all types, how could they get involved?
Yeah, so we have information on our website where you can go and you can not only find chapters and virtual meetups that are happening right now in the pandemic, but you can also find a link to how to start your own chapter. And there we give you give you sort of a framework. So each of our chapters is loosely structured around the same format. So, you know, people gather at an assigned place and time. You know, there's a little bit of sort of socializing at the beginning where you share what you're reading, introduce yourselves. And then there's a designated time. We recommend an hour, but really fit it into whatever schedule you want, where people just read. And, you know, and what that does is it creates like a, you know, you block out the time on your calendar to be able to just focus on reading and not be distracted by what's going on in different, you know, browser windows or phone pings or various other things. And then at the end of that reading time, you come back together and, you know, and talk more about books, talk about what's going on in the world, or some people just sort of choose to keep reading or if they don't really want to participate, if they're not comfortable with the social side of things, then they're welcome to leave. But that gives people enough of a framework to kind of like build their own, if it, you know, as it were. And then, you know, and then we have a, we have just a submission form where you can send us your contact information. We will get in touch and share resources with you. So we have, you know, we have logos and templates and, you know, bookmarks and things that you can use to kind of start up your club. And then we will also add you to our directory, to that chapter map you mentioned.
Which is super exciting.
So that people can find you and find your information. The one thing that is required is that you have to have some place that's public online where people can find information about how to join. Okay. So on that map, each chapter links to either, you know, it can be a Facebook page, it can be an Instagram account, it can be a website or blog, or, you know, or even like an Eventbrite page. You don't have to be on social media. You don't have to be on Facebook to host a club. But we need to know where to send people to find you. And so each of our volunteer organizers maintains their own page where they post their event information. And the Silent Book Club website sort of, you know, organizes that all in one place so to make it easy to find.
That is awesome. My last question, I suppose, is going to be a loaded one because it involves COVID. How has the pandemic changed Silent Book Club? I know that COVID has changed extroverts into introverts. So you'll probably, like, once people actually do start getting together, you'll find a lot more like newly proclaimed introverts who are suddenly comfortable not socializing.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. You know, as I mentioned before, we have a strong presence in Italy, and I work really closely with you know, with some of those organizers. And if you remember, you know, last February, Italy was sort of an early hotspot. They were about 3 weeks ahead of the United States in terms of COVID and the, you know, the sort of the lockdowns and the numbers spiking. So as that was taking place, I was working really closely with a couple of the organizers in Turin to sort of figure out like how to shift from in-person meetups to an online format, because they wanted to continue to gather. They weren't allowed, you know, to leave their houses. And so what that ended up doing was sort of prepare us for what then followed, as we know, in the state. I remember that as things were sort of starting to worsen, we sent out some guidelines to all of our organizers with recommendations on, you know, how to, you know, how to stay safe, to please pay attention to the different sorts of, you know, individual like state level and city level recommendations that were coming through. And then also like, you know, offered sort of this model of whether, you know, using Zoom or later on other things came online, like, you know, Facebook rooms and, you know, I mean, there was one group that started up on Discord, like there were a number of different ways that people adapted. And then we, once the sort of, you know, pandemic was declared by the World Health Organization, then we sent a follow-up to all of our organizers asking people to, you know, to completely shift to online and stop holding in-person meetups, because we did not want, you know, we didn't want Silent Book Club to put anybody at risk for their health. And so, you know, so a couple of things followed. A number of groups shifted to an online format. You know, several others kind of just went on hiatus. And, you know, and then, you know, as the months went by, you know, a few really interesting things happened. Once people sort of got over the awkwardness of like, wait, are we going to just like sit and read alone in front of our computer screen with other people reading alone in front of their computer screen, you know, once people got sort of more used to it, then, you know, what became really interesting was that a lot of the kind of geographical borders that had been, you know, that had, you know, prevented people from being able to join Silent Book Club because they didn't have a chapter in their town, now suddenly, you could go and you could join a virtual silent book club anywhere. So, you know, we were able to kind of like drop in on a meetup in South Korea. I was able to meet like far more of our Italian readers. There's groups in Germany that, sort of like popped into our San Francisco meetups. And so it really became this fascinating way to actually bring people from very different parts of the world together. So now on our website, we have a link to a page that is tracking all of the different virtual meetups. And what we say is like, find one that works for your schedule, doesn't matter where it is, and jump in, or hey, like, you know, if you want to practice your Italian, go say hello to the folks in Genoa, you know?
Much like you are able to join us from Hawaii.
This is true. Yes.
Yeah, it's that is, I think, certainly one of the things about this time that has been extraordinary is that communication has changed so much. But I have a very close friend in San Francisco, and it was difficult for us to get together. But now we get together almost all the time and we talk about books, and there you go. I mean, you know, you could, your friend moved to another state, but you could still have book club together. And it might not have been something that people would have thought to do before we didn't have to. I mean, of course, there's a lot of sad things that happened about the pandemic, but I think reading has really been something that's brought us together. And we can do it like this.
Yeah. And, you know, the other side of it, too, is that, you know, I mean, over recent years, a lot of smaller communities have lost their, you know, lost their independent bookstores, or, you know, or like when Borders and Barnes and Noble started shutting down locations.
Borders was my college job. We had a wonderful Borders around the corner from the library, and I think that you coexisted beautifully. But when it shut down, I have a really hard time driving by it.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. Yeah. And so many people really, you know, I mean, we hear this again and again in our Facebook group that, you know, people like they don't have bookstores, and they don't, you know, or they have to order books online, or, you know, or do interlibrary loans in order to get
I just wish there were more independent bookstores. And
well, I think coming back, I mean, I have seen the pandemic has not helped for sure, but, you know, up until that point, like, we have, you know, we really saw a resurgence, you know, thanks to places like, you know, Parnassus Books and Ann Patchett, and, you know, and I mean, I you know, the other day, Stephen Colbert did a little bump for Foggy Pine Books North Carolina. And it was it was such a cute, like, I mean, it was just such a great way to sort of like, you know, boost a small independent bookstore. And so you have these stories of, you know,
Jenny Lawson sort of, is it the Nowhere Bookshop in, is it Austin? She cracks me up. She's always very funny. Like, let's pretend this never happened.
Yes. And yes.
She's just, she makes charming stories out of very sad situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, so, I mean, anecdotally, there are little success stories. As a whole, I mean, I really hope that independent bookstores can sort of come through, and that people, particularly on the other side of the pandemic, really recognize the value in community gathering spaces and in places that create, that bring together, you know, not only to create jobs in small communities, but also, you know, one of the things that Silent Book Club did, you know, as the pandemic was sort of picking up, was we started doing virtual author events as well, because, you know, any author that released a book in 2020, you know, their entire book tour was, you know, had to be scrapped. And for those first couple months, especially, you know, there were, you know, as people were trying to figure out their online platforms, you know, it took a while for libraries and bookstores and your traditional sorts of outlets to kind of shift to a virtual model. And, you know, because we are are a very small organization, you know, we were able to kind of spin this up pretty quickly. And so we hosted a whole series of author events where people were able to call in from anywhere. And that's something that we're continuing, as we go on. And, you know, now we've almost reached the point where people are like having like Zoom event fatigue because there's so many Zoom events. But I do really love the fact that, you know, that now I don't have to kind of like cross my fingers that my favorite author is going to come to my town, because I know that, you know, that there's going to be an event at like Books Are Magic in Brooklyn, and I can just tune in online. And that, I think that that has been one of the silver linings of, you know, of the current situation is that it does give you access to connect in more ways.
So I'd like to know what the last favorite read of yours was.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to give you two totally different ends of the spectrum. I think that the best book that I read in the last year was Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell.
Oh yeah.
And oh my God, I think I just cried for 100 pages. I mean, it was so beautiful, but also like so heartbreaking. But I absolutely just like could not recommend it more. It was incredible. And then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, I just read Party of Two, which was Jasmine Guillory's latest. And she's a romance author. And this was, you know, the just light, funny. It's the story of sort of, it's the love story between like this hot California senator and this like brilliant lawyer. And, you know, and it's told from the perspective of a Black woman. And, you know, what I loved about it was that, like, you know, what's currently going on in politics is so far from the kind of, you know, politics that were involved in this book. And it was just a delightful escape from our reality. And so, you know, I'm going to thank Jasmine Guillory for creating a world where like that's politics that I don't mind reading about. So
sounds great. Okay. Well, thank you so much. This was wonderful. And again, people who are interested in joining or starting a silent book club should go to silentbookclub.com.
That's it. Actually, you could also go to silentbook.club. Ooh. If you don't want to type those extra three letters, but both of them work.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And then, you know, you can also find us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We are all over.
Excellent. Well, thank you again. Once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page. And our guest today was
Guinevere Delamere. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page. Oh man, I'm starting that over again. Hi.